Welcome everyone. I trust you had a good weekend and that everyone enjoyed VE Day, done very differently from homes. We're carrying on our series on Jesus going through the book of John. And today I want to look at Jesus the wedding guest. So let us now listen.
John chapter 2 verses 1 to 12. And I'm reading from the NLT version. The wedding at Cana. The next day there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festivities, so Jesus' mother told him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, that's not our problem," Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." But his mother told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Standing nearby were six stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told the servants, "Fill the jars with water." When the jars had been filled, he said, "Now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies." So the servants followed his instructions. When the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though of course the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. "A host always serves the best wine first," he said. "Then, when everyone has had a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine. But you have kept the best until now." This miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee was the first time Jesus revealed his glory and his disciples believed in him. After the wedding, he went to Capernaum for a few days with his mother, his brothers, and his disciples.
Jesus loved going to places where people were. And in the gospel stories, we see him at a lot of meals. We also notice that he had fun at parties. He was one of those people that maybe you would bring to a party and you'd never know quite what was going to happen. Sometimes he humiliated the host. Sometimes he'd bring in unsavory friends. Sometimes he healed people. Sometimes he insulted people. But it was never boring. He attended banquets that were given by tax collectors, by Pharisees, and by his disciples. Here, in this, what we've just read in the Gospel, he was on his way to Jerusalem, and this was before his ministry began. His ministry actually began in Capernaum later on, but he first went to Jerusalem, and this was a wedding that took place on the way there. And it was obviously something connected to do with the family, because we see his mother seems to have something to do with the catering. But it was here that we are told that he performed his first sign. And it's interesting that through the Gospel of John, he does seven signs, and they're all in miracles, and all of them are there to show the glory of Jesus in some way. But the first sign he did is at a wedding. The last sign that he did before he going to the cross was actually just after a funeral. So it starts with a wedding and ends with a funeral. But I want to look at three aspects of this story that we had about this wedding in Cana. And get some messages from it. There was a young girl that was once, the pastor was told the story, or the Sunday school teacher told the story and said to them, "So what can we learn from the story of Jesus turning water into wine?" And her answer was, "When the wine runs out, we start to pray." So what I want to do is I want to have a look at the story of Jesus, and I want to use three W's in doing it. The first W I want to look at, of course, is the word wedding. I mean, after all, Jesus was a guest at a wedding here. Obviously, he was closely connected to the wedding, as we said, so it looks like his mom had something to do with the wedding. But it was also something we also note is that his father is not mentioned. And we don't know what happened to his father. Tradition seems to say that his father died when he was a teenager, and maybe he was the one that had to bring up his family. So he was connected very closely with his family. And this, he started his ministry. So here we're told that he's about the age of 30. We're not given his actual age, but he's somewhere around the age of 30 when he started his ministry. And during this whole period, from his teen years to then, he was obviously the one leading the family. And he is the one that was part of the family. What's interesting is the way he talks to his mother in this. And some people have got offended that he could talk to his mother like this. But we actually see his allegiance changing. And in the sense that he was part of his mom and the family, he's now going to be doing the work of the Father. He's now going into a period where he's doing ministry. His hour was about to come. And the hour, when it spoke about his time is coming, or his hour is coming, it's referring, of course, to the fact that That was when he got crucified. That's the hour that he's actually preparing for. That is the ministry that he's preparing for. So he's at this party. What do we also notice, though, at this party is that he wasn't a party pooper or a killjoy. He actually enjoyed the party. As a matter of fact, people later on, one of the accusations labeled at him was that he was a drunkard and a glutton, because he went to parties. He didn't move away from it. So it's interesting that as Christians, we can often put a hard thing on this, but Christ enjoyed a party, but he didn't behave badly. He was always circumspect. He was always a model guest at these parties. We see here that at this wedding, he's a guest. He's not the person running the wedding. He's merely a guest at the wedding. Whereas when he starts his ministry, he starts preparing for a time when he will be the bridegroom, and he's preparing us to be his bride. So it's quite apt that the very first thing he does, and if you want to read about that, read Ephesians 5, but it's quite apt that the very first event he does is to do with a wedding. So this brings us to the second point. The next point we note is the whoops. And I've put that word in because it caters what actually happened in the story, because the story is actually very interesting in that you have a wedding and they run out of wine. Now, if Jesus' mother was the one involved with the catering, that would have been quite a shame on her. It would have been quite a bad reflection on her. But whatever happens, for a wedding to run out of wine was quite not a good event to take place. And it's interesting that so many similarities we can take from this into our own life. This where you're going through life and you've got things planned. Now, a wedding is something normally that is well planned. You have the catering planned in advance. You have the guest list sent out. You have everything sort of done well in advance so that it can go well. But it's interesting, you can plan your life and have everything set up to go well, and then things go wrong. Then things fall apart. And imagine what it must have been like for the people at this wedding. Suddenly, they notice the wine has run out. They're going to have the embarrassment, the shame of having to say to people, well, we've run out. There's no more. And they're going to have to face the music. They're going to have to face the embarrassment of what they're doing. And it's at times like this that suddenly they will look around to say, what can I get for help? And it's at this time that Jesus steps in, and he actually comes in and tells them to go and do something very strange. But have you noticed how they were prepared to do it and look to Jesus at this time? Whereas under normal circumstances, he was probably just being a guest they would have ignored. In Zimbabwe, we have a lot of beggars on the street, and we have a lot of what we call street vendors, where the people on the side of the street, they're going along trying to make a living, but they end up coming and hassling you to buy small little trinkets. And they'll normally, they will just keep hassling you. They'll follow you, trying to insist that you buy these trinkets. So what we tend to do is try and avoid them, and they are the sort of people that you don't want to have anywhere near you. But it's interesting that there are a couple of times when they come in very handy. Like, we've been in a situation where you're going to your car and it's now pouring with rain, and we'd forgotten to get new windscreen wipers, and the windscreen wipers on the car are not working. And these street vendors, one of the things they often do is sell windscreen wipers. So suddenly you see a street vendor with a windscreen wiper and it's pouring with rain. He is now the most important person that you can have on that street. He is the one that you turn to him. Instead of avoiding him and going away from him, you now turn to him, wanting him to be part of what you're doing. Or if you're driving, looking for a parking, and normally they come running out and try and usher you into a parking, and they're just a hassle. You're trying to avoid them. But if there are no parkings, and suddenly one of them leaps out and says, yeah, here's a parking for you, he becomes the most important person that you could actually focus on at this time. And it's something that you're actually now prepared to do. And so Jesus now tells them to go and put water into the jugs or jars that they actually use for purification. They used to have a lot of cleansing, that you used to have to do hand washing and all this before they go into meals in the Jewish culture. And Jesus tells them to do that. Now, normally you would probably, and then to serve that as wine to the guests. Under normal circumstances, you'd find people probably wouldn't do that. But it's interesting, when you're desperate, how that's when you want to turn to Jesus. When you have the whoops in your life and now is a disaster, you're actually now prepared to do those things. And we saw this with my dad when he was dying of cancer. My mom was one of those. She would go to church and she wanted to stay in the background. She did not want to be one of those to go forward. As a matter of fact, when she first attended church, before she was part of our church, when she came and attended, she says, whatever happens, if I call up her name or in any way signal her out, she was going to leave and not come back. So she wanted to stay in the background. But now my dad was dying, and we had one of the people in the church suddenly felt that what they needed to do was to get the leaders of the church to stand at the front, forming an arch that people would then pass under. And then the people that needed prayer, they would actually come and walk through the archway whilst we could then pray for them as they were walking through. And my mom suddenly was with my dad and felt she's got to do something. She was desperate. Dad needs help. So she leaps up and she got dad and she got him to go through this arch. And she did it because that she saw that she had that need and that that my dad was in need of help. Now my dad did die of cancer, but he was able to die in peace. He died being able to witness to his family. And you know that during this time of coronavirus, a lot of you might be in situations where you've had a whoops and life has now handed you this disaster. This is a time when you can actually turn. Jesus is the guest at this wedding. He's actually waiting in the background, waiting for you to turn to him. And he's there to now for you to actually turn and be used. Now that brings us to the third point here. The third W then is the wine. So the first W we had was the wedding. The second was the whoops. The third is the wine. So it's interesting that in this first miracle, the first time when Jesus wants to show who he is, he turns water into wine. And Johnny has been leading our, doing some sessions in our home group where he's been taking us through different aspects of the I Ams of Jesus in John. And we were looking at what is wine? What does the wine actually stand for? And it's interesting, if we look at the Bible, what you actually see with the wine, Jesus here in the very first miracle, he turns water into wine. In the last thing that he did before going to the cross, he took wine at the meal that he had with his disciples and he said, here, take, drink this. It is my blood that is given for you. And the wine was shown as a representation of the blood of Jesus, and blood that Jesus was prepared to spill on our behalf. It's also interesting that they've taken this wine and or they took the water, the jars that were used for cleansing, and it became wine. And now those jars that were used for cleansing, they would only clean the physical, your physical hands and your physical thing before going in. It was a tradition that they had to follow. But the wine that it became, that represents the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is something that can cleanse us totally. It is something that can actually, the one thing that can really cleanse us. If you've got a lot of things in your past, a lot of things that you've done, you think, what can I ever do to cleanse that away? I don't know if you've ever done those incidents in your life where you've said and done something that you wish you could go back and undo. And you're thinking, well, there's no way that can ever be undone. It's there and it's going to haunt you forever. Well, you know that Jesus says that his blood can cover that. He is prepared to take the shame, the guilt of all those things that you've done and actually cleanse it and take it away from you. So we can actually bring those things. This wine also represents, of course, some people see it as representing the Holy Spirit or representing the fruitfulness in our life. But this wine, that as we turn to the wine that Jesus gives us, is the only wine that can truly cleanse us. It's the only wine that can actually offer us eternal life, but also an abundant life now. I want to read what the NIV Study Bible says about this wine. And in the NIV Study Bible, it says, in his account of Jesus' first display of his glory by providing an abundance of wine at a wedding feast, John probably was testifying that Christ's saving mission would culminate in the redemption of the creation from all its distresses, so that the wine of joy would flow fully as the prophets had announced. Isn't that a beautiful picture? So the wine that we've been offered isn't just any wine, it's the best wine. You know, it's when people are looking for help and they have this whoops in their life, they turn to Jesus because they think that he can help them out. But what we find when we've turned to Jesus is that he is the only way to be saved. Once we come to him, we realize he is the only way to have this abundant life. And when we turn to him in this time, we then discover that it's also the best life. It's not just the fact that we're turning to him and he's going to free us, but he actually then offers us things that are good. He offers us things that are abundant. He offers us things that are enjoyable. Because it's interesting that it's water that he turns into wine. So it's something that's plain. He gives us beautiful taste and something that people can enjoy at this feast. And when you turn to Jesus, he offers you a life that is even fuller than the life you have now. And of course, the main ultimate thing that is looking at is the fact that we have eternal life with him in heaven. But that even works into now, because part of that eternal life is in us right now. That kingdom of God can actually come through in all that we're doing right now. So those are the three things that we actually look at this wedding that Jesus is the guest at, the whoops that we have in our life, and the wine that can be there to cleanse us and bring us back to Him. So Jesus revealed as the wedding guest. Jesus, who is there when life hands you a whoops. He is there if you turn from your old life to Him, to offer you His blood to cover you and your sin. He is there to offer you this life, this abundant life to the full. Remember, He is standing at the door and knocking. He is the one you can let in during this lockdown, not far from any one of us at any time. And if you've never let Him in before, this is an opportunity for you to do that now. If you're someone who's actually had Jesus in your life and you've moved away from Him, this is an opportunity for you to get back to Him. This last weekend we celebrated VE Day, and of course VE Day was victory in Europe. Well, you know, if you turn to Jesus, you can celebrate your victory today over sin. So let's look to Jesus as not only the guest at our wedding, but the one who can become our Lord and Savior. Can I just pray for us now? Father, we just want to come before You now and just thank You for today. Thank You that You are the wine that can cleanse us. Thank You that You are the way, the truth, and the life. Thank You that You are always there waiting to help. And thank You that Your blood can cover our sin. We just commit ourselves to You now in Jesus' name.